John Lithgow is up for an Emmy for his role in the sitcom Third Rock from the Sun. Yesterday, the show was nominated for a Golden Globe Award. John Lithgow made his movie breakthrough wearing nail polish, eyelashes, prosthetic breasts, and support hose. His portrayal of the transsexual in The World According to Garp earned him an Academy Award nomination. His other film roles include the panicked airline passenger in Twilight Zone the movie, the shy banker in Terms of Endearment, the psychopathic murderer in Blowout, and the fundamentalist preacher in Footloose. He was also featured in the John Grisham adaptation The Pelican Brief. He starred in the Broadway hit M. Butterfly. Our interview was recorded in 1988.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to talk about some of the roles that really first got you noticed in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe play some clips from a few of them and talk about what you did to prepare for them. Would that be okay?
That's fine.
Good. Let's start with the role that I think people really, really noticed you for. And that's in The World According to Garp, when you played the transsexual who had been a linebacker and then through surgery became a woman. And Roberto Muldoon was the character's name. Let's hear a clip from that movie.
You can stay.
No, I have to go have a heartbreak in Manhattan. He's young, he's handsome. Oh, what can I do?
Maybe this time it'll work out.
Maybe so. I'm a hopeless romantic in a male chauvinist world. Bye, darlings.
What were, that's a really great scene, great performance. What were some of the gender questions you had to think about playing a man who had become a woman?
Well, I suppose I had to imagine myself going through all that. Playing Roberta, everybody's always figured that this was the hardest thing I'd ever done. In fact, it was one of the easiest. Roberta Muldoon is, I always approach the character as a very simple and ordinary person who, in fact, was more at home with herself than she had been before her sex change operation. I decided on the basis of not really much research, but just thinking about it, that if I myself were to change myself into a woman, I wouldn't be all that different. There's a big difference between transsexuals and transvestites. Transvestites are crazy about all the affectations of femininity, but transsexuals are very down to earth. They're very ordinary. They're not that different from the way they were before. Just a little more contented. At least that was my approach to Roberta. I had done a lot of unwitting research years before. I'd just been kind of captivated by Jan Morris.
The writer and transsexual.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Had seen her interviewed quite often, had read her memoir, Conundrum, which really recorded the whole process of undergoing this change and all her thoughts before and afterwards. So just inadvertently, I knew a lot about this issue. It came in handy when I screen tested with George Roy Hill, because the screen test was nothing more than a conversation on the subject of my history in the character of Roberta Muldoon.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You once said that playing this character was like conducting a prolonged illicit affair with yourself. That's pretty funny.
Well, it was a sexy experience for sure. I don't know, I was in drag for 3 months, and it's a very provocative experience. I recommend it to everyone.
Why?
It just sort of expands your consciousness. What can I tell you? It was very exciting. You felt like a spy behind enemy lines. I hung out with women all the time, and I felt very secret, like secret heterosexual, a fox among the pigeons.
You know, another thing I find very interesting about this role is that, you know, you're a very tall man, and the character is a former football player, but the character is very emotionally vulnerable. Now, I think in our culture we associate physical strength with emotional strength, and you had to have physical strength but emotional vulnerability in the role.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was this blend of male and female. I think that's true. George himself, the director, had a lot of qualms about casting me in the role because I was so big. And I always thought that was my greatest asset in the role. It sort of was automatically hilarious and moving all at the same time.
Let's go on to another role. My guest is actor John Lithgow. And I'm sure you also remember him in the movie anthology of The Twilight Zone, where he played a passenger on a plane who is terrified, absolutely terrified of flying. And here he is on a plane that's trapped in a storm. He looks out the window, and he thinks he sees a little monster on the wing putting out one of the engines. A pilot comes and tries to calm him down.
Either calm down, or we're going to handcuff you.
Listen, there's something wrong with this airplane. I don't care what happens to me, but if somebody doesn't do something about it, we're all going to die. That's D-I-E, die.
You big silly. You used to be a normal person.
Sit down, darling. Come on, okay?
Valentine, what do you think's wrong with this aircraft?
There's an engine out.
Which one?
The one on the outside. Outboard number one. It's out, isn't it?
What did you think about to get that out of control, to get that panicky?
This is great. I got to see these movies again.
I had so much fun watching them all again.
Well, I haven't seen them in years. I just sort of worked myself into a state physically. It was a very intense, like, 10-day shoot. So day to day, I was my voice was all raw and I was a physical wreck. And I just kind of exploited that. My research for this part was sort of twofold. I have a very good friend, another actor, who is very afraid of flying. And I always knew that, but I'd never known the details of it. And I phoned him long distance in New York and just asked him to talk about it and answered questions. And he told me the most extraordinary things, almost all of which I managed to physicalize and put into that performance. Just as an example, he said in an airplane he's very conscious as he walks down the aisle when it's up in the air not to put too much weight on one side or the other because he's afraid he'll flip the plane over, which sounds hilarious to us, and he knows it's absurd. But yet he walks like a tightrope down that aisle. And if you see the movie again, that's just how I chose to walk. And there was also a remarkable woman who teaches flight attendants. And she was there as a consultant all the time. And everything I did, I would ask her, am I going too far? And she said, never, never, never. She said, this is nothing to what I have seen.
You know, watching your performance in that film again really made me think about what a very plastic face you have. You can really just totally manipulate your face.
I do have a plastic face, as a matter of fact. No, not really.
No, well, but you can make your eyes pop. You can do things with your cheeks. And,
well, everybody can. I'm the only one who has the nerve.
I want to ask you one other thing about the Twilight Zone movie. In one of the episodes that you weren't in and that you had nothing to do with, there was a terrible accident that we all remember. Vic Morrow and two children were killed in a helicopter bombing accident. Did that really shake you up? Not only the deaths, the tragic deaths of these people, but really like knowing that making make-believe can have tragic real-life consequences.
Well, it was awful, and it was always like a shadow cast over that whole project, even though it was virtually a separate film that happened 2 months before we worked on it.
Oh, that was before your...
Oh, long before, yeah. They were even considering scrapping the whole project, but then they picked it all up again with an entirely new crew. But, you know, we never quite forgot that this terrible thing had happened.
My guest is John Lithgow. More after a break. This is Fresh Air.
John Lithgow is my guest. I want to play another role that helped make you famous, and this
great.
Is from...
Great, this is a lot of fun.
Now, this is from Terms of Endearment, where you played a bank officer who's very shy and very straight, and he's beginning an affair with the character played by Deborah Winger.
Emma, I haven't made love to a woman in almost 3 years.
How come?
My wife has a disc problem. And she can't take having any weight on her.
Sam, I hope you don't mind me asking you this, but have you ever thought of your wife getting on top?
Oh, she wouldn't do that.
She may surprise you.
No, I don't think so. It would be so unlike her.
Did you ask?
About 600 times.
That's a great scene. I love the way you speak in that scene. You have this very quiet and unsure speaking style in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a very slight, I don't know, Midwestern accent?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was supposed to be a Hawkeye, you know, and I'm a Buckeye, so I just sort of looked back into my past.
Was it easy to kind of get that insecurity?
Oh, effortless in my case.
Not a big stretch.
No, it was an interesting experience because I was really hurled into it. It was a case of recasting. They called me in, you know, like with a day's notice. I learned my words for that part on a jet plane, a private Paramount jet flying out to Nebraska in the middle of the night, and you know, 12 hours later, I was playing the part with Deborah. There was absolutely no preparation, so insecurity was part of the bargain.
Oh, so you mean in this role, the insecurity was especially evident.
Yeah.
You know, you also in that performance captured the gratitude that this character would feel for Deborah Winger for allowing herself to have this affair with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting way of interpreting it.
Well, it's all there in the writing. I mean, it's beautifully written that way. I mean, that was indeed my approach. I listening to it just now, this is such a memory lane for me. But that scene is so hilarious and so touching all at the same time.
It is very touching, that's right.
And I think that's Jim Brooks' particular genius, but it's also the kind of acting that I'm very fond of, where at any given moment, a scene can just sort of tip one way or the other.
Well, see, that I think that really is part of your gift in Twilight Zone, too. I mean, you're really panicking, watching this character panicking, but it's also funny.
Yeah, that's right.
But you really play it both ways.
And that's the charge, is finding that little moment where you can pull the string one way or the other. Make them laugh in the middle of panic or cry in the middle of laughter, you know. Just surprise them.
It seems to me that a lot of roles that you've gotten are the kinds of roles that wouldn't be offered the kind of actors who look like models. Do you know who have that, mm-hmm. that kind of the perfect good looks of whatever the period is?
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted those kinds of like perfect looks? Or do you think that that's really been a good break in a lot of ways because it enables you to play really interesting roles?
Well, I think it's a good break. I mean, I sort of am what I am. I don't regret, I don't much regret not being more handsome or, I think I'm a very odd assortment of characteristics. It's sort of, there's a lot of peculiarities and surprises about my body, my movements, my face, and I've just sort of learned to appreciate that. I'm sort of a surprising person. And, I mean, as soon as I'm acting, I'm a surprising person. And I think the trick for an actor is to get to know himself very well, to get to know what his abilities are, what his both his limitations and his capacities are. And I've found that I've been able to sort of expand my horizons all the time. And I think that's just because I'm kind of an odd, eccentric person in physically and in other ways.
John Lithgow, recorded in 1988. He's nominated for an Emmy for his role in the sitcom Third Rock from the Sun. This is Fresh Air.